it's time to go out and...
Hey, baby, from that nightclub at the end of the world. Yes, it is Sunday, July the 15th of 2012. I'm Michael C. Rupert. Welcome back to another episode of the Lifeboat Hour. I'm in a really good mood tonight. And I heard, I could tell from the show before that there's some of that going around, and that's a very significant development. I was kind of dreading this show all week because last week was a very heavy show. We're going to take your calls. I want to hear from you guys in email starting at around the bottom of the hour. I'll let you know, because we've been going through a remarkable transition here on this show as I have evolved from the point where I was when I resigned from CollapseNet in May, I guess it was, and where I am now. And that was a decision. You know, I've been talking heavily about mankind being forced to choose between living a mental or a spiritual life and suffering the consequences in either direction thereof. And I've been talking about having to live from the heart. And I've been very grateful to what I learned from 21 years in Alcoholics Anonymous that I've been injecting into this program, where what you do, what happens when you have a human being who reaches a state of hopelessness from the world of Cartesian knowledge that science can't touch, that medicine can't touch, only a spiritual solution becomes available. And that's a way of life that people actually live, and you do that publicly. So I had 21 years of that training in the program that taught me about things like living from the heart versus living from the head. It was an old AA line that I heard, I don't know, 25 years ago, that the longest journey in the world is the journey from is the one from your head to your heart. And that's absolutely true. But that's exactly what's happening in the world right now. And it's happening in living technicolor. And what I want to do tonight is I especially want to reach out to and hear a lot of the people who have been joining the program. I've gotten really good feedback from a lot of places. These are the people I want to hear from tonight, people who are aware of so many of the changes that are going on. We'll talk about some of them. But this idea of living from the heart is very important. And if you followed me for any length of time, you know anything about my story, you'll understand that the major decisions of my life that produced the greatest successes of my life were all made from the heart. For example, when I left LAPD, I did not have a plan. I lost my pension. I didn't know what I was going to do for a living. I knew that I had to leave, because my heart made me leave, because the criminality wounded something inside of me that was just not acceptable. The heart led. Another example out of my past is when we were doing the Tillman series and my computers were smashed and my life was in danger in Ashland, Oregon, and I fled to Venezuela. I did not have a plan then. But you know you're living from your heart when you make decisions not based upon calculations, charts, tables, prognostications, and so on and so forth. You know you're living from your heart when you find yourself doing something having absolutely no certainty as to whether there was going to be ground under your foot for the next step. And yet somehow that happens, and that's what happened to me in May. So I want to say hi to a lot of my new friends. I want to say hi to my musician friends, Diane Patterson, love you to pieces. Human and his amazing band, Human Revolution. Human is like Jim Croce reincarnated, and my music is going more to folk country as well. That's kind of where my heart is. To Alira, a beautiful singer who's a songwriter who's on tour with them. To Kelly Green, to all my buds out there, and there's so many people who are on with what's going on here. It's like I am not speaking Greek, and your reaction has been that a lot of you really understand this. On my Facebook page, there's a link up there that I really highly recommend. I put it up yesterday. It's a video by Greg Braden, and it's called Deep Truth, Igniting the Memory of Our Origin, History, Destiny, and Fate. Greg Braden, Deep Truth. One of the great things that if you're really starting to wake up to there's something more going on here than what we read in the newspapers, and it's happening on many levels, what I highly recommend is going to YouTube and queuing up either Greg Braden or Little Grandmother or Michio Kaku or Junvalo Melchizedek or Dolores Cannon, and along the right-hand column there on YouTube, there's all these other video options, and just start jumping in a few of those rabbit holes and see where you come out. But Greg Braden is a scientist. He used to work at Martin Marietta, which is where my dad came up. I'd love to have a conversation with him someday, and maybe I will. But my father was liaison between the U.S. Air Force, the CIA, and Martin Marietta on some of the most secret missile programs in American history in the 60s and 70s. He later went to Advanced Space Systems with McDonnell Douglas. Interesting background. But Greg is probably, and I know because my dad did this, and this is where I learned how to do public speaking in a sense, he is the best briefer I have ever seen in my whole life. I have never seen anybody process and present information the way he does. It's just amazing. But Greg, in this particular video, he focused in on false assumptions, and this is where science is now absolutely overturning the state religion, if you will, the paradigm thought of the paradigm that we live in. Some false assumptions. Survival of the fittest. And if you think about it, that is indeed the way this world that is turning into a living hell, that one out there, is evolving. Well, false. Darwin was dead wrong on a couple of accounts, but over 400 peer-reviewed studies at the end of the last century all concluded that the optimum amount of competition in any environment, underlined bold, is zero. It happens in nature. Good competition does. It happens in nature. But it's not the universal underlying truth of life. Competition is always destructive. Now think how that would change the way we related to the world around us with all of the myriad problems we have. Oh, and by the way, San Onofre is the damage is off the books at San Onofre. So that underscores the fact that we have 450 nuclear reactors or so to shut down around the world so that we don't kill everything on the planet. The only thing that's going to allow us to do that is first and foremost a change of consciousness. So, okay, now, where else Darwin was wrong is our human DNA, it is not possible, could have evolved through natural processes. Very, very clear. We are not the descendants of Cro-Magnon. We are not, no. There's like a million and a half year gap. Where did we come from? What happened? Now, there's several schools of thought, and there is much supporting evidence from the ancients, from the ancient civilizations, the Mayans and elsewhere and so on, with the not only the calendars but their predictions. And this is very much in the spirituality of indigenous peoples as well, going back to the oldest peoples on the planet, that there are 5,000-year, roughly, cycles. Some contain 5,200 years, within a 26,000-year cycle called the precession of equinoxes. And all of the calendars have indicated that there were ages before ours, that each time an age came, human beings evolved. And we evolved, as Greg Braden and so eloquently points to all the science, we evolved because of frequencies and lights and emotional conditions that we work on that affect us and affect our DNA. Now, the poles are shifting. I've been talking to friends lately, and one of whom is a world-class microbiologist, just a brilliant guy and a very dear friend. And he said he felt he was losing his grip on reality. The sun felt different when he was out in the sun. He said he wondered if he was getting a sore throat. Well, that's been happening to me, and a lot of people have been asking about that. And the sun is behaving differently. Why? The poles are shifting. And that is absolutely, totally documented. Now, what do the poles have to, as the poles move, the electromagnetic fields change, and the way sunlight hits us is altered. And everything on this planet comes from the sun. Go watch this Greg Braden tape, and then jump down the rabbit hole. It's going to answer a lot of questions for you. Here's another great point. Human civilizations vastly older than 5,200 years, our 5,200-year cycle, by the way, comes to an end on December 21st, 2012. Isn't amazing how the Mayans knew that? And there is historical geological data supporting exactly what the calendar says from ice core. So human civilizations, I mean way older, we're talking 8, 10, 15,000 years ago, are being found all over the world, and they employed architectural techniques way more advanced than ours for cutting and placement of huge stones perfectly. They're being found in Peru and Turkey, Iran, India, all over the world. And in not one of them is there any evidence of fortifications, weapons, or war. In other words, human beings lived on this planet without war and bloodshed. And these cycles and phases come and go, and there are a lot of us who totally understand that what's happening now is having crossed this threshold where by objective measurement, by what people like Guy McPherson would tell us, and what nuclear scientists would tell us from Fukushima, what someone would tell us about the Gulf, and climate change does come, man does alter the climate, but climate change has also been very well matched with these cycles over the years. But we've destroyed the Earth. We've destroyed our mother. We've killed her, according to 3D factual evidence. So that would leave the choice of living from the head or from the heart, from fear or from love, or as Russell Means puts it so damned eloquently. He's just, he gets it, man. He's so clear. Anytime you're living in fear, you're on the reservation. Anytime you're living in fear, you're on the reservation. And that is so true. And I am no longer able to live in fear. I've made a decision based on the heart, and I'll have collapse in it. Now, before I take this a little bit further, because I have to tell you the story that's like Frank Capra, and then we'll get to your calls after we probably after I just finish telling you about this and playing Tammy's song. My good buddy friend Tammy Gosnell, who is a kick-ass singer-songwriter, you're going to hear from her in a second. She's not here tonight. She'll be in studio with us next week. She's out on the road slaving away somewhere. I can hear her laughing if she's listening. But Tammy lives out here near me in Sebastopol, California. She mugged me one night when I was going into a local club, Aubergine, that has really good music. And we became incredible friends, and we just clicked. Now, this gig of a lifetime, which I have the story up on CollapseNet, and if you go to my, I will put it up again on my Facebook page after the show, but if you go to CollapseNet, look at her Founders Corner for the gig of a lifetime. This will spell it all out for you. But before I tell this story that involves Tammy Gosnell, you got to meet her. And if after hearing the song of hers called Horse of Course, and if you followed me for any length of time, you will absolutely understand why we are best friends. Play the song, please.
I'm riding a horse on the wrong side of the road.
Golden, go home. Tammy Gosnell, TammyGosnell, TammyGosnell.com, my good buddy. Now let me tell you a story. Now that you have an idea about what she's like, let me tell you the story. Because it all has to do with everything that's going on. I could no longer live in that world because it was obvious that that world is dead. And I had known that a spiritual solution would be the only way out for our species for a long time. And I went to my wishing tree. I have a praying tree. And I call it the wishing tree. I've talked about her on this show. And you know, I asked for help, and all of the guidance followed from my shaman, from my own prayers and meditations. I had a good astrological reading, and I'm taking that much more seriously than I used to. I'll tell you, boy, it's amazing. And they all said exactly the same thing, but most importantly, my heart said, you don't need to know where your feet are going to land, just do this. And what I have done for now 10 weeks is prayer, meditation, and I attended this little 2.5 acres that I rent, and the crops that are on it. And let me tell you about my breakfast the other day. I started down at the bottom in bare feet, and I had about 10 strawberries. Then I went and clipped a couple of pieces of fresh kale. Then I had a piece of chard. This is all as I'm doing the watering. Then I worked my way up the hill, and I got to the fruit trees, and I had a plum, a peach, a pear, two apples, and then I threw in many handfuls of blueberries and raspberries. Plus two eggs from the chicken coop, raw. I mean, I could take them so the chickens can't see. But I was full by the time I got to the house, and there is no better way to live. If you really want a consciousness-altering experience, try that someday. Come up to my place, visit. We'll can't feed you all at once. But so that's what I've been doing, and the fruits are showing. I accepted the name Tracker of Truth from my shaman. And I have been doing exactly what I have been told, without fear. I'm not on the reservation. Now, the July rent has not been paid. My landlords know about it. They know exactly what's going on. Everything is cool. I have no fears because I have lived through LAPD, Tillman, Venezuela, a great many times in my life. Whenever it was important, I was able to follow my heart, and there was never any debate. Now, usually when I get my head involved, I create a much worse mess than I was in to begin with. So, roll the clock forward from the time I left CollapseNet to about three weeks later, three and a half, and one day I woke up and I was just moved to start rehearsing, singing a new song. And the song was called is called Healing Hands by Mark Cohn. I absolutely adore Mark Cohn. He's a giant. He wrote Walking in Memphis. And I started doing it. It felt so good. The next day, out of the blue, I hadn't heard from Tammy for months, and she calls up, hey, what's going on? Come on over. So she comes over, and I'm just moved right up. Tammy, come on, you got to hear this. So I just started working on the song, and I play the song. And she looks at me, she goes, great, that's perfect for our second song. And I go, what? And our second song at Paul Fest, I've just booked us there. Now, Paul Fest, for those of you who don't know, is the Ron Paul Festival, which is taking place at the Florida State Fairgrounds about 3 days before the Republican National Convention. Oof. Just makes me shudder thinking about that. But that's what makes all this kind of fun. Of course, everybody at Paul Fest knew who I was from my work. But Tammy booked us to sing a four-song set. It was three first, and then it's been expanded to four. And, you know, she had it all booked, and she just came to me and said, you want to do it? I said, well, yeah. I mean, that was one of those heart decisions. And it was obvious that Healing Hands would be a perfect song. Veterans for Ron Paul are doing a power march, I believe, to the venue that day, and it's quite impressive. And we know that there are a great many veterans who have supported Ron Paul, and we all now watch events unfold as they unfold. But I have a special bond with them, and a lot of them know who I am as a result of my past. And when I sing Healing Hands on stage, I'm going to dedicate it to all the veterans, and I'm going to be wearing my boonie hat. My very well-worn, well-earned boonie hat, and I'm going to be singing the song for them. That's just one. Now, Tammy and I also have an original song, Back from the Brink, that that I'm going to sing. And then we have two other songs. And one of the other songs will be either Woodstock by Joni Mitchell, key of F. We'll do a Crosby, Stills, and Nash style. Or Wooden Ships. And we'd much rather do Wooden Ships. But in order to do Wooden Ships, we would need a keyboard and a drummer. And we, a keyboard is really good for healing hands, but there's no budget. I mean, we're getting paid airfare plus $600, and we can't, you know, we can't, and the $600 has got to cover our lodging for 3, 4, 5 days, and so we need in Tampa a keyboard player and a drummer. And I know you're out there now. Everybody, turn off your heads and turn on your heart, because if and join me in this magic and help me with this. So so that'll be our third song. But now the fourth song, catch this. Now, this is especially cool for all of the friends who have been joining us since I've been talking about what's really going on. Is that Tammy is I don't know if she's a master, but she's a very experienced practitioner of Tibetan sound healing and meditation. And we are going to spring a Tibetan healing session with toning and the bowls on a crowd that's going to be estimated to be at 25 to 45,000 people in some of the densest energy on the planet 3 days before the Republican convention. Sneak attack from the heart. Nothing else is working, right? So we need a lot of help, and if you go to CollapseNet and look up the Gig of the Lifetime, the whole story there. I'll put it up on Facebook after the show. I need the rent, and you know I've got to keep working on the crops, and you know people here aren't going to let my crops go to waste, and you know everything's hanging. But if you want to reach me and you want to send cash or check, please, we need that. Send it to Michael C. Rupert. That's me, 708 Gravenstein Highway. I'm going to read this again later in the show. 708 Gravenstein, G-R-A-V-E-N-S-T-E-I-N, Highway, North, PMB 266, Sebastopol, California, 95472. I'll give that again before the show's out. I want to thank Gene Mayfield. I put this out last week. I haven't been to the box since Wednesday, I guess, maybe Thursday. But she sent a check for $25, and she wrote, "Here's hoping many well checks will join mine and help you stay on your farm. It sounds wonderful." It is. I left Bright, California 6 years ago, where we grew four types of berries, oranges, grapes, rainbow chard, and more, and I really miss it. My only son refused to move back to California, so here I am in OKC. Gardening here has been a challenge. Thanks for all the info on the show. And thank you, Gene Mayfield. That $25 tells me that the channel is open. That's all I need to know. I have no fear. Because what's going to happen is one way or another, Tammy and I are going to go this and do this. And it'll be her on a six string and me singing, her and me singing together. And you know what? That's just fine, too. But we'd rather have the best act that we can. We'd hopefully like to video some of this stuff so that we can bring it to you. I know there's a lot of people out there who know me, been following me, and, you know, my career in traipsing through the tulips of the entertainment industry. I know my friends are out there, and turn your hearts on. This is the gig of a lifetime. This is a chance. For me, it's a chance, being from my generation, being from the 60s, to have a musical experience that might help to complete the work that my generation began in the 1960s. I mean, there's one of my old favorite sayings is, don't shoot unless you get a headshot. And from a heart standpoint, this is a heart shot. And that's what we're going for. We're going for the hearts of 25 to 45,000 people there, every one of whom knows in our hearts, we all know in our hearts, how bad it is out there, how screwed up it is, how it's got to change. And many of us, what's really cool, are aware and experiencing the fact that it is changing. Amazing times. You know, I will not go back on the reservation. I'm not going to be afraid. My whole life is a lesson. And do the right thing. And one way or another, the universe will step up to back you up. And if you want to support that kind of living, support it here and live it in your own life. And I'm telling you, it pays enormous dividends right now. So we're coming up on a break, and after that we'll come back, and please, let's hear from you tonight. 1-888-874-4888. I want to check in. I want to hear what's on your mind. I want to hear what questions you got, what's going on with you. Or send me a direct email at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com, and also use that email address, please, for any help you want to give to Tammy and me to get our silly butts to Florida so that we can do something pretty ballsy and fun. All right, we will be back right after this on the Lifeboat Hour at PRN.FM. I like the Long Odds. That's a new White Trash song called "It Would Be Strange." Michael Yost from Venice playing great guitar on that. Doug Lewis and "Don't Let the Fear Turn My Ears and Eyes Off." Amen. Ain't that the truth? All right. It looks like we have a caller. We have Ed from L.A. L.A. How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing pretty good, actually. I don't have much fear inside me. I've been really I've changed a whole lot. You know, I came to Los Angeles 29 years ago, and I just prayed to be this rich and famous comedian, and I ended up being this caregiver to my wife who had a stroke. We both met at the Comedy Store 29 years ago. And,
wow.
You know, I've been caring for her, but my whole, even the way I pray now has changed, and thanks to you, I'm reading The Isaiah Effect by Greg Braden, which is a gripping book. I can't even put it down.
Yeah, exactly.
But I've been praying. I mean, I would say for the last 6-7 months, all I've been praying for is for more love to infect this planet and infect our leaders with wisdom, with spirituality, and that goes for every soul. And I just, you know, as I'm reading this Isaiah Effect, I'm wondering, what if we had like mass prayer for love to infect this planet? What if 200 people got together and prayed for this?
There's HeartMath. HeartMath.com. Greg talked about this on one of his recent tapes. But this is, there is actually astounding science backing this up.
That I believe it.
It is shown. Quantum physics is just like, it's amazing. But that projected emotions have effects on the way water will crystallize, and that nothing but electromagnetic waves can and do influence matter. Now, one of the things that's been abundantly established now, that's very much a matter of public record, and again, I speak here as a detective, you know, who knows how to collect clues, is that on 9/11, the human emotional reaction to the attacks of September 11th dramatically and exponentially altered the Earth's magnetic field. Now that's what's going on right now.
And that's what blew me away when you said that last week. You had mentioned that on your program last week. And we've had the Isaiah Effect here for like 10 years. I never read it. I picked it up and started reading it, and I said, "My God!" Because, as you well know, in the beginning of the book, because I haven't finished it, he mentions Greg Braden when Clinton was going to strike Iraq, mm-hmm. 1998. And there was a mass prayer, I guess, over the internet, and it was so powerful that within the first half hour of the bombing campaign, the Iraqis would allow inspectors to come in, because that was the bone of contention with the Clinton administration, was that they wouldn't allow inspectors to come in, and Clinton decided that they were going to bomb Iraq if they wouldn't allow the inspectors to come in. So a mass prayer on the internet came about, and within a half hour, for the first time, I guess, in U.S. history, the military campaign was stopped, and he told the forces to stand down.
That's, I think something like that happened much more recently, last fall and winter. It was probably why Spirit had me stay and collapse in that as long as it did, before we crossed the point of no return, which guaranteed that dramatic change were going to happen, because the universe will not allow this planet to die.
But absolutely,
we were getting ready to bomb Iran, and the war had already started. I mean, Iranian military bases had been blown up. Israeli commandos had gone into Syria, killed 10 Israeli pilots in a commando raid. Missiles, I mean, and the war wasn't declared, but it was clear that decisions had been made, and something called that back to the brink. And I was part of, not only from as a journalist, but also spiritually, very aware that enormous spiritual forces were moving, forces of love, in much the same way, and they were working in much the same way. And the United States was resoundingly turned around and really kind of humiliated globally. And even though they're still talking about it, I don't think it's going to happen. But I think there are many, many experiments about that.
Yeah.
That in Washington, D.C., they went and there was a concentrated meditation and the homicide rates fell dramatically. But this is all part of what this evolution is now that is taking place. And what I find so amazing about it, Ed, is that the ancients knew all of this was coming. And the precision with which the ancient prophecies from not just the Mayans, but from the Anasazi, who were descendants, but from Kalahari Bushmen, from the oldest people on the planet, Australian Aborigines, all up and down Central and North America, all these different ancient wisdoms have very similar predictions. It's what's coming is an evolution. It's the end of one cycle and the beginning of another. And all that's required, and this goes back now to the particle physics, and this is what I love about this, is there's hard science backing this up, is it only takes about the square root of 1% of the population to reach what I call the 100th monkey. And I think we're getting close to that.
I do, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
And I love your analogy about AA. Also, I'm a member of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, the solution lies in that paradigm that it's we. It's we, and it's all about love, and it's all about helping the other person. It's all about being of service.
Our primary purpose was to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and to our fellow man.
Exactly.
I never let that leave the center of my being. Because what I learned in AA was that's the only way I can stay sane. Otherwise, I turn into a stark raving lunatic,
Me too.
And that's the beauty we have with that. Thank you for calling in, Ed. I'm going to keep talking to you for a while. This is a great conversation.
Thank you.
Is that we learned? If you've been sober for a while, you've sponsored people, right?
I have not sponsored anyone, unfortunately. When I've got sober right before, ironically, 3 months before, my wife had a stroke. And mm-hmm. then I ended up taking care of her. And
okay, but you've been around long enough. You've been around long enough to understand what a sponsor is and what a sponsor does.
Absolutely, I have now.
First thing, a sponsor has to work the first 9 steps. Those are the recovery steps. That's where you actually do the work, clean the house, and open something of a channel from your head to your heart. It's amazing how all this comes together with such beauty in Alcoholics Anonymous. But in Alcoholics Anonymous, the sponsors have to walk the walk or they stand out like sore thumbs. So you have to live the spiritual life. You have to demonstrate spiritually. You have to manifest spiritually, because that's the only way the guys who have to learn how to live by spiritual means are going to see that it can be done.
And I believe it said, I get a daily reprieve contingent upon the maintenance of my spiritual condition.
There you go. And there's another great line in there. It says, the spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. And if that is true for what is now probably tens of millions of people around the planet, maybe 100 million, 200 million or so, since the 1933 or 35 when Bill and Dr. Bob got sober.
Right.
But all of those people have lived by spiritual means. That's the only way they have survived, because we would have all either drunk ourselves to death or gone insane. And of course, I reached a point which was my own evolution, where I was able to, but that wasn't my intent. I was asking the question when I was writing Crossing the Rubicon. I had just acquired all the evidence of the War Games, which was, to me, was absolute proof that I had Dick Cheney by the you-know-whats, provided that anyone would pay attention. And the question was, did I have the cojones to write it? Which I did in Crossing the Rubicon, and I said to myself, because AA had not been receptive of my message of peak oil and the collapse of human industrial and the corruption. But I asked myself the question. I said, "Do you mean to tell me that with all this evidence laid out, I'm in the middle of this book that's historic, that if I have a glass of wine, everything is going to be wasted?" And I needed that inspiration from God to find the courage to finish writing Crossing the Rubicon. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Total sense.
And I called my sponsor right away, Dale, and a wonderful guy. And like a couple days later, I told him what had happened. He said, "Mike, I love you, brother. You had to leave to get well." But that doesn't change the fact that the 12 steps and what I learned in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous has governed all of my actions from then to now. And ain't it strange? We have a world that is just ripe for a 12-step call.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that.
Yeah. So, you know, we do this now by living it. And that's why I'm not afraid. I have no fear about what's going to happen to me or anything else. I know it's going to be there. But this is also what I encourage for anybody who wants to help Tammy and me get to Tampa and pull this coup off, to move from your heart to help us out. And that energy, believe me, is very contagious, especially when money energy comes that way. And it's going to come one way or another. I'm not specific about how it's going to manifest, but it sure is nice to feel like you're doing something out of love. I remember a time in AA when I so wanted to lose my fear of financial insecurity, because that had been beaten into me, because I couldn't find jobs, you know, with the persecution from the government, right?
Right.
And I remember I was about 3 years sober, and I had one $5 bill left in my wallet. You know, I had horrible times financially. And I stopped my car, and by a stranger on Van Nuys Boulevard, got out of the car and handed the guy my last $5 bill. I said, "Here, you need this." And that was a cheap price to pay just to prove that I was willing to go to any length to be free from the fear. That's the warrior part, brother. That's Russell Means, and fear is the reservation.
Yeah, it is.
And so thank you so much for calling in, man. I really appreciate it, and keep listening.
Well, give us your address at the end so we can help you out with your journey, because I don't know if I can get to Florida with Kelly, but I'd certainly like to see if we can send something to help you with your journey there.
Thank you. And I'm certain some cool musicians will be up, because I've been privileged to work with a few. My fantasy is that Ben Tension, Steve Ferroni would come over from Gainesville if they're hanging out there. That's an inside joke. Never mind.
Well, listen, thank you for taking us through this. I know to a lot of people would be a confusing time, and I get what's going on, but I thank you for leading us through this.
Well, so you're quite welcome, and all I'm telling you is I'm following my heart, and that's the biggest promise of honor I can give you. All right, here it is. Michael C. Rupert, that's me, Rupert, 708 Gravenstein Highway, Gravenstein Highway North, N, PMB, personal mailbox, 266, in Sebastopol, California, 95472. And if you are in the music biz, if you are an unsatisfied member of my generation from the 60s with some music chops who thinks that we just might get some closure on the crap we started in the 1960s, or if you're a player, or you can help us with logistics or anything like this, you know, maybe something about a place to stay there, I don't know. We're going to camp out. I don't care. It's Woodstock, you know, and that's the way Tammy and I are. But you can email me directly at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. And I know this gig is going to come off, because Tammy and I would do it If we had to stand there naked with one guitar, we would not miss this gig. Okay, so where are we going now? All right, I'm going to go back to some of the stuff that we've been talking about. And it is so comforting now to look out and see all this amazing science that is confirming what the ancestors told us and have left us in the wisdom they have carried and contained and kept for all these thousands of years. Throughout the course of my work, you know, as an author and investigative journalist and writing the books and doing all that stuff, I was always looking for the ultimate bad guy. I was looking for the bottom line. I was wherever the devil was, I wanted to find him and look him in the eyeball. And it was probably at about 2008 when I was writing the book and getting just before Chris Smith came to me from Blue Mark Films. It became so clear that the answer to all of this was indeed biblical and spiritual. I had traced it back to, if you will, the so-called story of creation, Garden of Eden. M. King Hubbard wrote the same thing. He was baffled, and he too saw the intense correlation between energy and money and how insane the infinite growth paradigm was. And he, quote him, he said, it goes back to money and its origins in folkways of prehistoric origins, which would correspond to what the world outside. Now, given the fact that they lie to us about everything else, I certainly believe they lie to us about our history and our origins. That there was nothing there before 5,200 years ago, before Sumeria, before whatever the earliest, you know, civilization was. And yet we know that there are massive cities built with technologies we can't comprehend that are 8, 10, 15,000 years old, which totally turns our concept of who we are and where we come from on its head. And in the movie Collapse, in the documentary Collapse, again, it's 888-874-4888 if you want to call in. In the documentary Collapse, at the very end, there were some edits there that didn't quite make sense, but one thing got through very clearly was where I said there is only one thing we can change, our minds, our consciousnesses. Because, and this came, was driven home for me, especially when I was looking at Fukushima. And this is after knowing that the Gulf of Mexico had been poisoned and, you know, and we passed the tipping point with methane release and everything else that is just destroying the planet. But with Fukushima, I realized that Japan could not possibly solve the problem. Now it's gotten to the fact that I don't think the human race can solve the problem. But what dawned on me was the problem is not soluble at all until we stop looking at it as a Japanese problem and start looking at it as a human problem. And that applies just as well to economic collapse. It's not a European problem. It's not an American problem. It's not a developing world problem. It's a human problem. That applies to the horrible destruction of the environment, the mass extinction events, event that is underway. That applies to all the damage we have done to this planet that gives us life. And we are clearly seeing now that this planet is alive. Now, this is one of the great things that Greg Braden will take you to with the science. You know, we've been taught that the head was in charge, and we used to have all these great jokes in AA about the head. My head would have killed me 20 years ago, but it needed me to get around. And where your head can take you, and you really do have to make jokes about it sometimes to put it in its place. But the head's been worshipped for the last 5,200 years. The head has an electromagnetic field. And so that would give some credence to that. But the truth is that the heart has an electromagnetic field. Science confirms this, a thousand times stronger than the brain. So one is five times ten. it's the heart is by far in our body. It's the first organ which develops. The place where frequencies are there. The heart has been imprisoned, much exactly like our mother has been imprisoned. And the heart now can break up, but it's being assisted by everyone else, because what the science shows is that the emotions that we carry resonate. The butterfly effect is, in fact, the savior of all of us, because what the butterfly effect says is that one good butterfly in one place doing something really good can make everything change for the better. So we need to add to those butterflies. Okay, we do have a caller coming in. Matt from North Carolina, you there? Matt?
Hello?
Matt, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi.
Hey. I've been living on 2.5 acres out here in the mountains of North Carolina for the last 5 years, and it occurred to me not long ago that that as a process of the way of life that we've chosen, my consciousness has been altered and my thinking has changed, and it occurred to me that the way of homesteading is a paradigm that could and should be scaled up and applied to the way that we live as humans on the planet. It's a very different way of relating to place and having a connection with the land and seeing the world in relation as opposed to just one great big box store. And
here's Matt. A way to look at it that makes it not seem so daunting. The problem is not how to make coerce pass legislation or tell people they should. That's operating from the head, and all of those approaches have failed. But what is happening, and I see this as this consciousness change is progressing, and here's a tip of the hat to all of us who've labored so long in peak oil to promote this activity, but those people who are now being drawn to do that, as they do that, those that have the ability are beginning to generate the frequencies which operate like the butterfly effect. In other words, you don't know what the ramifications are of the change that's happened in your consciousness or the one in mine. So we can't tell everybody to go do it because that's going to frustrate everybody because the people in the cities can't. But I think what's really important to remember is that those of us who are living the life are in a way actually doing it for everybody. Every bit of spiritual instruction that I've had lately from shaman, from my prayers, from everything, and meditations has been so clear. Now is the most important time to stay in love, to stay in the heart, because that energy truly is making a profound difference, and it is part of the change. So you're performing, whether you know it or not, a really good service out there, man.
Well, here's the thing that occurred to me that, while the people in the city can't, put under cultivation, a third or half an acre like we've done here, this way of seeing where we live and, mm-hmm. and our connection to the place where we live could be applied to cities when it comes to providing things like water and energy and food and transportation. And, it's about trying to establish a relationship with each other and the land in a way that changes our thinking so that we're not living in a way that is all about each of us individually working a job and getting a paycheck and but a way of seeing that the things that we need come from where we live and our connection to the water that flows through is something that we all need to care about, and it just seems to me that it really is. It's a change of consciousness that needs to happen, but it could happen even in an urban setting if people were to get together.
And I am certain that once we reach the 100th monkey or the square root of 1% of the human population, in terms of this consciousness, that will start erupting in cities all over the world. That's the beauty of the proof that we have now that we are all connected. That's the proof of the scientific fact, and the reality of it is that actually if you come down to it and analyze it, the universe could not operate on anything else except love, 100% cooperation. And there's a great shaman I saw in a video from southern Mexico, and he says, the trees want to help you. The birds want to help you. The water wants to help you. Mother Earth wants to help you. They're waiting. And as more of us start experiencing that, I believe that we will be changing the way a lot of people look at things. We're about running out of time, Yen, but thank you so much for calling in, Matt. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, guys. All right, everybody. Man, this is, like, really exciting. We have a couple minutes left. Tammy Gosnell will be with me next week, and we'll report back on what kind of help we're getting to get this act together to go to Tampa to do this for no other reason than it's a pure shot of love straight from the heart in a place that sorely needs it and sorely is going to need it. And, you know, help us get that out because, you know, I'm not New Agey. I have the AA experience in a long lifetime of spiritual practice, surviving all the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. To understand that there is one fundamental truth above all others that we need to respect, which is to thine own self be true. Shakespeare didn't come up with it, trust me, but to thine own self be true. And you find out who yourself is, and you find out what's inside, and you listen to that, and you follow that, for as Don Alejandro of the Mayan people says, follow your heart. And you won't go wrong. All right. This is fun, man. Pass the popcorn. This is the Lifeboat Hour. I'm Michael C. Rupert on PRN FM. We will be back with you all next week. I love you. Bye.